Praise God. Well, the worship and praise to God sounds really great up here at the front, so keep singing and praising the Lord. My first job was at the Jumbo supermarkets. Jumbo is a grocery store, much like HEB or Kroger, and I understand that some in our audience are employed by such companies, but that was my first job, and even though I had a background, because my mom had a grocery store, and my dad had a restaurant, and so I had a little experience, you know, stacking some groceries in mom's grocery store as I was growing up, that it was still a little bit of a transition for me as I actually had a real job, a formal job. And probably the biggest transition for me was that I had to get used to standing on my feet for long periods of time. And I remember when I first started working, the shift wasn't that long. It was maybe 4 to 6 hours. I don't remember exactly how long it was. But I remember while I was on the job, see, I was a sacker, right? I was a sacker at the Jumbo supermarkets there. That's over 30 years ago and when I was in high school. But I just remember while I was on the job, I was just like, wow, man, my legs are getting tired. And when I got home that day, I was like, wow, my legs are tired. Because it was a little bit of a transition for me, you know, to be at school all day, just sitting down, and to then work a job where I was on my feet for, you know, 5-6 straight hours. Now, even though I could never fully understand before I actually started on the job what the experience was like, right? You never fully understand until you actually experience it. It was still helpful for those who had a background in retail or the grocery business to kind of forewarn me, to kind of prep me and tell me, now, be careful. You're going to be on your feet for a long time. It was still helpful for them to give me that warning, that admonition. Because anytime we engage in something new, anytime we engage in an endeavor, it always helps to have a little preparation to clarify what the expectations are, whether it's a job or maybe it's a relationship, or, and yes, even if it is a ministry. And we've been going through the book of 2 Corinthians, the first part, the main section of 2 Corinthians. And we have been learning from that goat, the greatest of all time missionary, the Apostle Paul. And as we've been learning from him, we're understanding some of his heart and some of his practice that can help us as a church, as we set some goals, that they can help us as individuals, as we set some goals to get fired up for God. And so we want to continue that this morning as we look as what can we expect? How can we prepare? How can we get ourselves ready for the job, for the task of being involved in proclaiming the gospel? I want us to look at that as we continue on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. What can we expect as we participate in the job of the ministry of reconciliation, of proclaiming the gospel? Let's start by looking at verse 7. And in verse 7, Paul tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels or in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. As we prepare to engage in the proclamation of the gospel, we first need to understand that this treasure is in jars of clay and that the power is from God. There's a couple of terms that we need to understand from this verse. The first is treasure. What is Paul talking about, that we have this treasure? What is the treasure? The treasure is the gospel of Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ himself. We can see that as we look back in verse 6, where he tells us that the light has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We also see that in verses 3 and 4, where Paul talks about that even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. And so this treasure that Paul is talking about is the treasure of Jesus, or the good news about Jesus. Paul goes on to say that this treasure is in a jar of clay, or the NASB says, earthen vessels. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, the jar of clay was a common utensil back in Paul's day, an earthen vessel, and it was common. It was not very expensive. It was fragile. It could be broken easily. Sorry, this is the best, closest I could come to a jar of clay. But the purpose of the common vessel, though, was to hold something that was important and valuable, such as water, which, of course, all of us need. But the purpose of the jar was, and the benefit of the whole package was not that this and what it contained, that the container itself would be of any benefit to the person, but it was what was inside of the container that was most valuable. And so here, Paul is saying that, you know, God chose to put this treasure of Jesus and his gospel into something so ordinary, so common, something that was so easily broken and cracked and fragile, and if it did break, we would just throw it away. He put it in this common utensil to show that what was glorious, what was valuable, what was attractive was what was inside of it. And that the power was from God and not from the utensil itself or ourselves. And so, friends, as we seek to sign up for the proclamation of the gospel, what can we expect? Putting this all together, we can expect to exalt Jesus and his gospel, and as we look to ourselves, we can expect to boast in our weaknesses, in our frailties, in our failures. That may not seem very attractive to sign up for. If I do the job of proclaiming the gospel, I don't get to exalt myself and talk about how incredible and how awesome I am. No, I get to talk about how weak I am. Anybody want to work this job? But that is what Paul is saying, and he reiterates this in different parts of the Bible. Here in 2 Corinthians, he tells us, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in what? In weaknesses. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with difficulty, with distresses, with persecutions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, what? Then I am strong." And so, friends, as we engage in the proclamation of the gospel, let us boast in our weaknesses. Boast in our weaknesses. Now, how do we do that? One simple way is by being transparent. And that is by openly sharing our struggles. None of us in here is a superstar. Sharing how our what our weaknesses are. Sharing our failures. We want to be a community that can be real and authentic and sharing the difficulties we go through. Dan Allender, in his book, Leading with a Limp, he says that the core assumption of his book, this book, Leading with a Limp, you know, showing people, yeah, I'm not perfect, I got a limp, okay? Leading with a limp. To the degree you face and name and deal with your failures as a leader, to that same extent, you will create in an environment conducive to growing and retaining productive and committed colleagues. And then he goes on to say, to the degree you attempt to hide or dissemble your weaknesses, the more you will need to control those you lead, the more insecure you will become, and the more rigidity you will impose, prompting the ultimate departure of your best people. And so, friends, let us be transparent as we boast in our weaknesses. So let me set an example. What's my weakness? I have several. One, I'm a people pleaser. That's right. I've shared that with you guys. I love to please people. I love to make them happy. And sometimes that can go too far. And as I've shared, so much so that back in high school, I was so involved in pleasing people that I would use profanity in a public setting of an interview so that the popular boys' club at my school would let me into their club. Or, as I mentioned before, last year, in talking to Daniel's teacher, I used the word lucky instead of blessed. I said, oh, we're the lucky ones. And in my mind, saying, I just committed the sin of using lucky because, you know, I didn't say I was blessed. Because we don't believe in luck, right? Because I didn't want her to think I was weird or strange. Yeah, I can be a people pleaser. That's one of my weaknesses. But you know, the strange thing is that once we are open with God and with one another, what our struggles are, it gives him the opportunity to fill us up with his power. It's when I tell God, God, I'm empty. I got nothing. That he says, great. Let me fill you up. It's when I tell God, God, I got this problem. That he says, great. Let me help you find a solution. And so even though I might be prone to please people, as I confess that to God, he fills me up with his boldness, with his courage, so that in the past, he has actually demonstrated great boldness and courage through me. So let us boast in our weaknesses. Let us be a community that is transparent with one another. What's your weakness? What's your weakness? Is it lust? Is it selfishness? Is it pride? Is it comparison? Is it idolizing your grades, your work, your children? Think about that for 20 seconds. What's your weakness? And if you're comfortable, turn to your neighbor. Share your weakness with your neighbor in the next 20 seconds if you're comfortable. If you don't, that's okay. All right. This is something we can do all throughout our group times. And so, friends, how do we get ready for the job of proclaiming the gospel? We need to boast in our weaknesses. One of the best ways that we can boast in our weaknesses is being transparent with one another, sharing with one another what our difficulties, what our struggles, what our weaknesses are. Now, let me also put in a plug for our prayer times. And it's when we truly understand that of our own strength, that we can't accomplish anything, that we're more motivated to fall on our knees and cry out to the Lord. And so I want to challenge and encourage us to, on our own, but also with others, to gather together and call out to the Lord. And we've just restarted English prayer times on the first and third Wednesdays of the month. And so I want to challenge you that in your weakness to come out and ask the Lord to move and work, or other prayer avenues that you have. Let us call out to the Lord. So, how do we get ready for the job? We need to know that we're signing up for a job where we will be boasting in our weaknesses. Let's continue on in verse 8. Of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, we are... Now, he's going to, in a sense, describe some of his difficulties, some of his struggles. And so he tells us in verse 8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair. These are afflictions probably from without, from enemies of the gospel. These are internal anxieties and struggles and perplexities. But we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're not abandoned by God. We're struck down. We're knocked down as if in the ring, but we're not destroyed. We're not out. Verse 10, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. Verse 11, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We need to prepare ourselves to boast in our weaknesses, and we need to brace ourselves for suffering. Brace ourselves for suffering. Again, that doesn't sound like a job I want to apply for. So Paul gives us some reasons why we can brace ourselves for suffering. The first is he tells us that it's through these difficulties, these struggles, these afflictions, that the life of Christ is manifested or shown forth in our lives. And he repeats this twice in verses 10 and 11. He says almost the same thing in those two verses. So we brace ourselves for suffering because it's through suffering that Jesus' life is shown through our lives. Paul probably has a sense of that Galatians 2 passage where he tells us, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Because you see, we are all selfish people. We're proud and self-centered. And God often has to take that selfish, self-centered, proud person and chip away and chip away and put it through the fire so that once it's gone through a fire, what shows up is pure gold and the life of Jesus Christ. And so there's a dying to ourselves, a taking up of our cross, even daily, so that the life of Christ can be shown in our lives. So, as you proclaim the gospel, if you encounter suffering, know that God is refining you so that His life, the life of Jesus, can be shown through your life. When I was on the mission field proclaiming the gospel, I experienced some of the most difficult experiences of my life. I still remember some of the most painful moments. I had had some level of success as a missionary, as a team leader, but I got to a point where I was a part of a team and I was leading a team, and people were unsatisfied with my leadership. So much so that one of the team members told me in a personal conversation straight at me, I don't trust you. I don't trust you as my leader. That cut to my heart. And our team went through a very difficult time. We had a split. It was a painful experience. But praise the Lord that through that pain, that suffering, that trial, the Lord got my attention, and I sought out counseling. It was free, by the way, as a good Chinese person. But I sought out counseling, love of brothers and sisters began to encourage me, speak into my life, and slowly I began to build myself back up so that I became, hopefully, an even more effective servant, a more effective leader for Jesus. So brace yourself for suffering as you proclaim the gospel. Why? Because God is chipping away. He's chipping away at the self so that Jesus will show up more in your life. But he goes on to share in verse 12 that additionally, death is at work in us, but life in you. We want to boast in our weaknesses. We want to brace ourselves for suffering because the life of Jesus will show up in our life, will be manifested in our life. But we also brace ourselves for suffering because it brings life to others. It brings life to others. Death is at work in us. And as Paul was out proclaiming the gospel, he was getting beaten down. He was getting attacked by his Jewish and Roman adversaries, but he was willing to endure it, to go through it for the sake of the Corinthians and others who could be blessed with the life of Jesus Christ. And so you too, as you engage in the job of proclaiming the gospel, you will be bringing life to others. And so I so much appreciate two of our sisters who just last a couple of months ago on their Sunday afternoon, they went out to the Katy Mills Mall. They sacrificed their own personal time to do whatever they could have wanted to do on a Sunday afternoon, and they went out and talked to people at the Katy Mills Mall about Jesus and were engaging people in conversations about Jesus and the gospel. So that those people at the mall would have the opportunity for life. Now, how can we today more specifically brace ourselves for suffering? I think we can in a few ways. The first is bracing ourselves for ridicule and rejection. Bracing ourselves for ridicule and rejection. Now, thank God that we live in America and we don't live in North Korea. Okay? I hope we all know our geography enough that we're not in North Korea, right? We're in America. And so most of our expressions for worship and religion are protected by our government. However, as our society degenerates and becomes increasingly anti-Christian, we will face persecution, ridicule, rejection in our culture and in our society. And 2 Timothy 3:12 speaks to it, where Paul says, "You followed my faith, conduct, purpose, teaching, love, persecutions, as I experienced at Iconium and other places." And he says in verse 12, "And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And so it won't be to the, may not be to the same level of persecution that Paul experienced, but it may be in the form of ridicule and rejection as you proclaim the gospel and as you stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just like one of my sons who in his class the other day, as a result of being transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, he was basically saying that he believed that sex should be reserved for one man and one woman after, not before, after they're married. And when he said that in the class or something along those lines, everybody thought he was weird. That's the culture we live in. And we need to brace ourselves for that. Or as you share in a group or one-on-one that you think that Jesus or the revelation from God says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Then you're going to say, "You're so intolerant." You know, what's so brace yourself for ridicule and rejection. Another way is we may sacrifice our time and material comforts, money. Now, I believe this is true for 80% of us in the congregation. Now, for 20% of us in the congregation, it may not be true. Because, you know, they say that 20% of the people in the church do 80% of the work in the church or something like that. So most of us, I believe, can afford to take a little bit more of our comfort and consecrate it to the Lord. Now, I'm not arguing for over-sacrificing, overworking, and burning out. Some of us do need to read a good book or go for a walk in the park or watch a sports event. Because if you are too much into serving and sacrificing, then, you know, you get ulcers and headaches and heart attacks, and then you're not good for anybody, okay? Unless, you know, I always say you can't serve the Lord if you're not alive, okay? Unless, you know, God does want you to die and burn out for Him to set an inspirational example for others, that's fine. I'm kind of okay with that. But, so I'm not arguing for an over-sacrifice, an over-suffering, but I think for most of us, we can afford to take a little bit of our comfort time and use it to disciple our children or engage in some proclamation of the gospel, or perhaps just taking our comfort time and transforming it so that if you are engaged in entertainment or something on the net, maybe you can at least do it with other people so that you're watching the Super Bowl with other people and building relationships with them, okay? But that's another way that God may be calling us to brace ourselves for suffering, is the sacrifice of our time and material comforts. Lastly, God is calling us to reach the ends of the earth. And many of us, some of us, will go and endure a life that is less comfortable, more persecution, more stress, more affliction for the sake of bringing life to others. Just like Joy Chen, who grew up in this youth group, has left the comforts of her own home culture to proclaim the gospel. Or Barbara Owsley, who was up here 2 weeks ago, has spent 25 years of her life in a completely more uncomfortable culture so that others will have life. So friends, what is the job that God is offering to us? He's offering the job of engaging in the ministry of reconciliation, and one that is boasting in our weaknesses, and one that is bracing ourselves for suffering. Now, many of you will choose, you have to choose a fine art in school, and it might be choir or band or orchestra. Some will choose to be in the thespian. Do you know what that is? A thespian? It's like an actor or an actress. Some will choose theater. And as you choose theater, you can also choose to be the person who's on the stage or the person who's backstage, behind the scenes. Now, if you choose the role of being backstage, behind the scenes, you have to know that when you do all that work and you put in all those hours, that people probably aren't going to know who you are. You're going to be working in AV. You're going to be working behind the scenes so that, you know, people like Jonathan or Eve or Randall, when they start in the Christmas celebration, that they will be recognized as the actors and the actresses of the play or the musical. So you have to be prepared to not be in the limelight, but promote others who will be in the spotlight. But at the same time, you still have to put in the long hours. And you're going to have to do the hard work of building the sets or moving the sets. And when the day of the musical comes, you're going to be staying up after midnight and perhaps for several days in a row, because there's going to be multiple shows, and you're going to be putting in the work and not getting home until very late at night. And yet, you will find value and satisfaction in it, not because you're getting a lot of attention and glory, but that those who are starring in the show will get a lot of applause, and that the audience will be blessed. In the same way, friends, as we engage in the gospel ministry, let's put Jesus in the spotlight. Boast of our weakness and brace ourselves for the long, hard work so that others will be blessed with life. Lord, we praise you for giving us the ministry of reconciliation. Help us, Lord, to be a community that boasts in our weaknesses. Help us to be a community that braces ourselves for afflictions, for difficulties, for Christ's sake.